And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show. Once again, thank you for coming tonight. Have an enjoyable evening. The refreshment stand will remain open for a short time. Still plenty of time to get a snack or cold drink. We'll make an announcement before the stand closes to give you plenty of time to get that last-minute treat.
You had better wake up and understand that there are people who are guiding your life and you don't even know it. And all American citizens, I think, have suspected something like this is going on.
Because our masters don't give a damn about you or your family. All they care about is what they have always cared about, and that's controlling the whole damn world.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of a new world order.
We will not live by your commandments. We're free.
There is no freedom without the law.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Thank you very, very much for letting us little kids live here. It really, really was nice of you. You didn't have to do it. And it's really not creepy to have little kids mindlessly recite this anthem every day and pledge their life to a government before they're old enough to really think about what they're saying. This is not a form of brainwashing. This is not a form of brainwashing. This is not a form of brainwashing. This is really the greatest country in the whole world. All the other countries suck. And if this country ever goes to war, as it often wants to do, I promise to help go and kill all the other country's kids. God bless Johnson & Johnson. God bless GD. God bless Citigroup. Amen.
Very good, kids. Now come and get your Ritalin.
What is it? You want to smoke some grass?
Oh, I don't know.
Come on, Daddy-O. All the other kids our age are doing it.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Well, I guess if everyone's doing it, I'll try it just this once just to see what all the fuss is about.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to this April 2013 edition of From the Bunker. I'm your host, Dire Wolf. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about my last podcast. It was posted at grismblogspot.com, which I was very thankful of because it gave a lot of you the opportunity to comment your thoughts and what have you on what was said. And of course there was some detractors there, which that's what I want to talk about, because I thought it was, some of them were a bit humorous, I give it that, and then others were just, well, ignorant. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, that's just the way the world works. But nonetheless, I mean, you gotta have negative feedback, otherwise, you know, you're exactly right and perfect. So nobody is perfect, nobody's exactly right. I would think. I haven't met that person yet. But I found it real interesting, some of the things people were referring to me as apathetic. You know, I'm going to agree that I am apathetic towards certain things. There's no doubt about it, as most people are. Am I apathetic in general? Absolutely not. No, I hold empathy to many things, but I am apathetic to these movements that I find to be bullshit. So, and that's what I was talking about last month, was I haven't seen a movement yet that hasn't been co-opted or wasn't created to be just that, just another way to fuck the masses. But oh well, no one agreed, well not no one, the detractors didn't agree with this, so therefore I'm apathetic. But I'm apathetic to causes. There's many causes I'm apathetic to. Oh well, who cares? C'est la vie. Gardening was a big thing. I guess mentioning gardening's not a good thing because, wow, Lord help you if you can feed yourself and your family. Wow. Okay. And, of course, brewing or distilling. You know, that's awful as well because, God, we wouldn't want to learn to do those things and just become alcoholics. No, that's not the point. It's about having a commodity, something to trade, and something that's fairly relatively easy to do, and not everybody knows how to do it. So there's always demand for it. But, oh well, there you go. I guess giving a few ideas is a bad thing. But I thought the funniest one was a pacifist. I was called, wow. I've been shooting since the age of 5. I have many firearms, and I wouldn't call myself a pacifist. No, I'm not a murderer, and I'm not a warmonger. I don't want to kill anyone. So if that makes me a pacifist, but that's not the definition of a pacifist. A pacifist that is just someone who flat out refuses. And, you know, they'll grovel. Well, fuck you if you think that, because I don't grovel to anyone. So where you got that notion or idea is obviously from ignorance. And ignorance and hypocrisy are, well, they're just two things that tend to piss me off. But, oh well. That's the other thing. I felt there's just a lot of hate anymore, too. And, you know, that hate, that's not going to do anything for you. It's just going to fester up, turn into shit. So you can be angry all you want. Angry's natural, but hate's harsh, man. That's nothing right about it. So you're gonna hate something, I guess. Hate the right thing, but a lot of these people, they just they don't know how to deal with it, I guess. So that's how they deal with their anger, is turn it into hate. I'm gonna hate. All right. The other one I thought was really funny is I asked my listeners, you commenters as well, so the same question. I asked several questions, but one of them was, I mentioned one of the thousands of Jews that were in the Nazi party, in the military as well, about Alfred Rosenberg, his Jewish ancestry. I didn't even mention Goebbels, but oh my God, yeah, this 3-4 people were telling me how this is just common knowledge, I need to do more research, but no one could leave me a link because I've done my research. And I asked someone to please leave me one link, if not two, but no one could leave me one. Oh well, so I guess I take it, I'm right, he's a freaking Jew. But I got my information from Peter Barrick, and he was mentioning the Jewish ancestry in his book, Metapolitics, and this was written in 1939. And he mentioned the Jewish ancestry of Rosenberg and Goebbels in it. Apparently Goebbels' grandmother was a Jewish lady in Southern Italy or Sicily, I can't remember which, but nonetheless, you know, again, I didn't mention the thousands of other Jews, so, but oh well. But Rosenberg, it's just common knowledge, he's not a Jew. Okay, well, it's not common knowledge to me and to most everybody else that has looked into this topic, but oh well. It seems like there was a group of guys that got really butthurt about me talking about movements, because I guess they have a movement. And, well, yeah, they're right, because their movement's bullshit, too, and they were the ones throwing the apathy out. You know, oh, you're apathetic. He's an apathetic gardener. And this is the crew that call themselves the Rent-A-Gay. They're, yeah, just something else. Now, there's two guys with that group that I don't know. I've never spoken with, I've never listened to their shows, and that's Will, and I think the other guy's name is Dave or something like that. But I don't know these two guys. I've never talked to them on the chat, the Grism blog spot, and I've never listened to any of their shows, so I don't know what they're about. But I do know three of these guys, and one of them, the ringleader of this shit, Mike Sledge, turns out that he's into making little Jewish babies, but yet he'll sit there and bitch about multicult 5 days out of the week. Woo! Yeah, you go there, Mike. Bitch about multicult and make more Jew kids. Yeah, you're doing the right thing. Then, of course, you got that wannabe Aryan ginger egomaniac Kyle Kunt. And then, of course, Lou, the Canadian with the extra chromosome. It's very special as well. But I'll get to Mike, though, and start with him, I guess, being he's the leader of this little gang of miscreants. I don't know. They're something else, man. I can't believe people, they actually have listeners. I mean, they have defenders as well. They even have an admin that's crawled up their ass at a Grissom blog spot. Should he banned me for, well, he trolled me and banned me after I told him to go fuck himself for trolling me, but he started trolling me over, why do you have to give the renegade guys so much trouble and a hard time? What, for asking a question? I didn't even ask one of them a question. I asked somebody else a question about a show they had done. It wasn't even one of these three I'm speaking about. So, I don't know, but he's a drunken fool. And I heard he'd quit drinking, and I hope he keeps that up. And I wish him the very best on that. And that's honest. I really do, because fucking alcoholism's dangerous shit, man. I've been there before, and that sucks. It's not a good thing. Social drinking's one thing, and having one every once in a while, that's the same, you know. But, you know, heavy drinking's just that. Heavy drinking is fucking poison. But, oh well. Enough of that, but poor Grissom Blogspot's basically just turned into an extension of this rent-a-gay shit. But, you got the Mike Sledge out there making the little Jew kids, bitching about the multiculturalism, how the black man's gonna kill all of us. If you're white, you're gonna die. Yeah, okay, whatever, man. Well, how about if you're white, you arm yourself and you defend yourself, those fucking rascally motherfuckers decide to start some shit up. How about that? Because I'll tell you one thing, black people are not organized. First off, they are not. As a whole, not even close. Much worse than white people ever thought of being. So if shit ever really went down, then these guys are playing into a government playbook at that with this race war bullshit. The only way that shit's gonna start is if the government starts it up for everybody. It doesn't just some crazy black fuckers start shit up like that. Oh, they can riot and what have you, but they usually blow up their own neighborhoods. They don't go into the white neighborhoods and fuck up shit because they know white people are armed and they'll shoot them. It's just that simple. Now, the Mexicans in California, that's something I would worry about. I mean, but then again, I'm not living in those cities. First off, I'm not even living in America. I moved to a white nation. How about that? But the U.S. is not even a white nation. We'll get to that, too. Because Mike likes to talk a lot of white nationalist shit. White nationalism's fine in a white nation, but the U.S., the corporation, the United States of America, happens to be, multicult hell, was written up and made to be. So that's the essence of America. Multicult shitland. It has been been going hardcore since 1965. But it's always, Europeans went there, and guess what? There was natives there. Oh, sure, I know that white nationalists now are throwing out some video that the Hitler channel put out. Amazing how they always dog that channel, but they put something out that kind of makes their mark. They're all over it. But the Hitler channel put out this video on whites in North America pre-Columbus. Well, yeah, that's known. There was some Scando fuckers that made it over, some Vikings, and they established a town, from what I know of, quite a nice town on the East Coast, and it lasted for a few hundred years, according to archaeologists. So, from what I read or saw years ago on this topic, but, oh well, yeah, so what? That doesn't count anything over the 90 million plus natives that were here for 10,000 plus years before that. So, again, it's not a white nation. Never was a white nation. You can have a white area. I don't see a problem with that either. But this is where white nationalists are just fucks. They're idiots about it. But Mike Sledge will go on about South Africa and Afrikaners. I mean, really? Are you that desperate? I mean, geopolitically speaking, that's the most ignorant fucking idea anyone's ever had. We're going to go into the deep south of the dark continent and claim it white land. Wow, okay. Real smart. And of course, that's just another colony from, British colony from the 1840s. And they came in with all, love and flowers to the natives, being extremely kind, treating them beautifully. So, but the natives didn't like the kindness and they, said fuck you and started cutting heads. Well, I can't really say I blame them. But the poor Afrikaners, yeah, I know. If you really want to help them, send the fuckers U-Hauls. What they're still doing there, I have no idea. I mean, the moment Nelson Mandela was elected, you should have got the fuck out of there. I mean, that's a given. But oh well, that's kind of like I don't know. It's just, it's stupid is what it is. It's stupid. In my mind, it's quite ignorant. Genocide anywhere with anyone is terrible. Absolutely. But that's happening on a daily basis. Sure, to white people in South Africa, but it's happening to Africans everywhere. It's happening to people in the Middle East. It's happening to people in Asia and South America, etc., etc., etc. This is daily. Has been going on for hundreds of years. So nothing really new there on that front, but to these guys it's brand new and we should pay a lot of attention and I guess do something about, what are we gonna do about it? Well, I'm not gonna do cock about it. It's really not out of my hands and it's not my issue, so. But oh well, I mean, what is South Africa to me? Well, it's just that, South Africa. Fuck me, wow. Never ever in a million years would I think of that as white man's land. But, you know, it's, I don't know. Most white nationalists cling to the slightest shred of white land, you know, like South Africa, without developing a greater geopolitical strategy. You know, white nationalism itself isn't really well defined. You know, it really seems simple, but I believe it means either forming a new country state for whites only or retaking an existing country back for whites only. You know, and if this definition is correct, there's really no legal means of making it happen. And, you know, I think that's the bind they find themselves in. It's impossible to legally discuss 95% of, you know, your strategies. So you have white national strategies, 95% of them, you can't even talk about legally. So that leaves only a few open for discussion. And of course, the most popular ones to do absolutely nothing, hoping for a collapse of the government, you know, which could happen tomorrow. Or the second most popular one is to move all the white nationalists into one area, eventually taking over the local and state governments legally. And then, well, you know, those are really the only two I can come up with. And they've basically done that in Kalispell, but there's no economy really there. They're not creating or producing anything. So the economy's stagnant. And they are like-minded people. They're pretty much all white nationalists in that area. And, you know, best of luck to them, but they really need to start something up. But if they started up, say they had an economic boom there, it'd be multicult hell. Legally, it can be. There's nothing they could do to stop it. That's the way the U.S. is set up. So, you know, you're not going to see anything change for you know, in your lifetime or 200 years from now. Seriously, it's just, it's basically impossible. You can't have all the blacks sent back home. I'm sorry that you missed that train 150 years ago. Yeah, it's just, it's not feasible, it's not really possible, nor would they want to go, nor is it right for them to go. I mean, I guess if the Africans have to go back to Africa, then the whites need to come back to Europe. But you already killed all the natives off, so I guess that would just leave it to the Mexicans, right? So, again, white nationalists in America are pretty fucking stupid, in my opinion. But then again, that's just my opinion. And those are the things, really, that Mike Sledge, I think, is completely wrong about. And other than that, I really don't have much argument with the guy, other than he's got a bit of ego issues, like Kyle, but nothing like Kyle, I mean, as far as ego issues go. But they both seem really fake. Very, very fake, very plastic people, but maybe that's just the ego screaming, I don't know. But I do have to thank that little ginger egomaniac Kyle Cunt for doing such a wonderful interview with Lord Lindsay. That shit was, that's classic, and I'm sure most of you from Mammy's Shit Grism Blog Spot are familiar with Lord Lindsay because he comes in for his daily affirmations. You know, I mean, shit, my favorite one was, I have it here, hold on a moment, let me find it. It was great. Okay, yeah, here we go. Over 2,000 people saw the truth. Around 500 took the next step and accepted a 2-page summation of the truth. And none of those people are ever going to be the same again, because that seed will always be there after today. Oh, tonight I'm going to celebrate with a total defeat of the demons in at least one major battle. If only I could find someone who knows how to do contact someone about those door hangers that can buy 10,000 for like $600 or so, and that would be a kick in the balls that I can definitely give those demons. So I'm not sure if the camera pins worked, but I'll check them tomorrow. I'm literally about to leave. In fact, someone on the train, a white woman, said after I had given my last flyer out, we were talking together with another white man, she said, Lindsay, none of these people are ever going to forget you and what you did today, much less the information and posters that you had with you. You have the right to be happy with your success today. I'm serious, man. I mean, this is the ship. This is why, not only from being banned there, I mean, I'm allowed back because I've been back there a few times, but this is why I don't hang out there anymore. It's just because of cock notches like this. This is just complete ignorance. But hey, Kyle interviews him, and that's great, because I actually thought Kyle was going to troll him, and that would have been even funnier, and I would have actually kind of enjoyed that. But no, it was an ego stroke fest, because both of them have each egos so huge, and they're both so full of shit. So, and the reason I say they're full of shit is because if anyone's ever listened to Lindsay's story, he has excuses for absolutely everything. I mean, absolutely everything. I've never met a human being in my entire life that has so many excuses. So, I mean, first off, you're not going to go on the MARTA for 5 and 6 hours. And the MARTA is the Moving Africans Rapidly Through Atlanta metro system they have, or train system. But there's no way you're going to be going on there for 5 and 6 hours in a day with billboards and passing out flyers. It's not going to happen. It's not allowed. It's a business, so they're not going to allow that. I've been all over the Western world, and I'm sorry, never seen it done. It's not possible for 5 or 6 hours. Your ass would get kicked off. He told some lovely story about running into a couple of old Jewish ladies, and they told him how he had misspelled Israel. I mean, really? Oh, come the fuck on. And he has this little tit-for-tat with them. Bullshit. I know Jewish women, they will fucking go off on your dick, if you had one. But they would fucking have your ass right then and there. They would have called the cops as well. Absolutely. So, I'm sorry, I call bullshit. Anyone asking for money for doing such a thing, for passing out fucking flyers, is so lame. First off, second off, when people do give you money and cameras and you find every excuse in the book for 2 months after the fact, a month and a half after the fact, sorry, not quite 2 months yet, to still not have any video out of this and people still sent you money, what bullshit. To read the comments from that show that Kyle and Lindsay had did, I mean, my God, that's a sad state again of Grism Blogspot, to see how gullible people are. I mean, you people will fucking believe anything. And when I say you people, the ones who actually fall for this bullshit. I mean, how the fuck? Oh, Lindsay, that's just wonderful. You have such courage. Yes, such courage, because it ain't true. There would be video of it is true. I mean, his hero is supposed to be Zan, the crazy old white man in Southern Cali that goes out on fucking Hollywood Boulevard and goes to fucking synagogues in Beverly Hills. Shit, that man's got some balls, but guess what? He's being videotaped. Imagine that. I talked to Lindsay like a week or so ago at Grism Blogspot and asked him, you know, if he'd had any video out. No, because his current campaign is at the university campus, and it's just not fair to those poor kids to put them on video without their consent. Okay. Whatever, man. Just, it's bullshit is what it is. It's not about consent. It's not about anything. It's just what it is. It's bullshit. But Kyle, I want to thank you for doing the interview, though, because you both pretty much are so full of shit for all of it, other than Kyle had some great advice with Movie Maker. Yeah, that's great advice, but unfortunately Kyle just makes propaganda for his fucking white nationalist gingerbread land bullshit. So, again, waste of time and fucking energy. Fucking egomaniac versus egomaniac. But, you know, oh well, what are you gonna do, right? You're going to send me some money, right? Donate to me, please. You can go to bunker420.blogspot.com. Send me lots of money. That's what it's all about, right? I mean, shit, I don't know. It's just, it's gotten insane anymore. People always begging for shit that's really not needed. I mean, when is the truth the truth? I mean, my truth changes quite frequently. I mean, I find out new information, guess what? My truth changes, especially if it settles differently. I mean, shit, it is what it is. It's kind of like with Hitler. Yeah, well, guess what? I've been lied to a lot about Hitler. I've been lied to in many senses. Bad ways and, well, more bad ways, because a lie is just that, a lie. But I'm going to talk more about Hitler and the Nazis and Zionism and some Golden Dawn goodies. But in the meanwhile, in fact, I'll let you ponder all this shit that I've talked about, these bullshit artists sitting there pretending to be what they are, just bullshit artists. And yeah, think about how much money you want to send me. How much can you donate? Because I'm building the Freedom Dome. The Freedom Dome of Truth. And I'm going to need a lot of money. So you be sure and send it. And be sure and buy shit from my advertisers, from my sponsors. They need your money too. So shekels, shekels, and more shekels. We'll be right back.
Experience Mexico. Experience the luxury. Experience the fun. Experience la pasión. Experience the wonder of where your guns go to. Experience the excitement of narco turf battles. Experience the mystery of rampant government corruption. Mexico, where you get your drugs from.
Sometimes where you are is not as important as where you will be. This is Orson Welles for the American Insurance Corporation, reminding you that one out of three Americans will die a violent death within the next 2 years. Some will be killed or disfigured in electrocutions. Some will be destroyed by human stampedes. And the majority will die in grisly auto accidents. We're not trying to scare you. We just want you to know the way things are. The American Insurance Corporation. Concerned because we love you.
The flesh and the mind. Words are weapons, the sharp of the knives. Makes you wonder how the other half died. Here comes the man, look in his eyes. Fed on nothing, love pride. Makes you wanna other half of devil inside, 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 every single one of us, devil inside, devil inside, every single one of us, devil inside. Devil inside, every single one of us is devil inside. Here comes a world, the look inside. The future's uncertain, certainly stark. Look at the faces, listen to the bells. It's hard to leave and need a place called hell.
Thank you. film is a brilliant achievement in motion picture history. Finally, the truth about Hitler's diabolical plans to create a race of superwomen can be told. Werewolf Women of the SS. Welcome to Death Camp 13, home of the Nazis' diabolical plans to create an army of super werewolf soldiers.
This project, its failure, will be your demise and the end of Germany, Bomber.
You have been chosen.
Rejoice!
I have found the perfect solution. The she-devils of Belzac.
Can they alone supply the blood needed to save Hitler's mad dreams? Or will the pride of Germany fall into ruin?
This is my project.
We are now in total control of pure wolf.
This is an outrage! Silence!
Featuring Udo Kier, Sherry Moon Zombie, Tom Tolles, Sybil Danning, Bill Moseley, and Nicolas Cage as Fu Manchu.
This is my vision!
Werewolf Women of the SS. Written and directed by Rob Zombie.
Are you ready for the most intense survivor yet? From a land where justice is as harsh as the desert sun, it's Survivor Afghanistan. Contestants on Survivor Afghanistan face the most difficult challenges ever as they shave their beards, wear mini skirts to the mosque, watch porno, and sing the Star Spangled Banner in downtown Kabul. Those who survive the floggings and public dismemberment advance to even tougher challenges as the tribes form alliances and plot against their adversaries.
I am very, very disappointed in the quality of the entourage you gave me. I have half a mind to vote you out of the Taliban.
Watch as 16 fanatical madmen try to outwit, outlast, and outpray their competitors, the weather, and the U.S. Navy.
Blue Leader to Blue 6, target confirmed.
Survivor Afghanistan. Catch it 24 hours a day on CNN.
All right, welcome back. And, we're going to get back to talk a little bit about some Nazi Zionism, little Golden Dawn shit. And, I don't know, catch some flack or maybe learn something or maybe not. Maybe you learned something. Who knows? But it's pretty obvious to me that the Nazi Party was not what we've been led to believe by Jewish media, textbook publishing houses. But the thought that Hitler could have been a tool of Jewish interests is really, it's put down by, you know, all these Hitler followers. They say it's detrimental to the morale and counterproductive and rallying up new recruits and, you know, but this is a predicament that shows that Jewry's intended to wedge the Gentile resistance in. You know, on one hand, fascism or National Socialism has really arguably been the really successful societal model for ridding a nation of Jewish subversion and racial degradation. But on the other hand, to the uninformed masses and even to the so-called truth movement, you know, like the one headed by Mr. Jonestein, you know, National Socialism, pride for your own people, is whitewashed as being, you know, a delusionary mistake of history. You know, it's coming from the popular truth outlet of, you know, someone like Russia Today or some shit like that, or RT as most people call it. You know, that's nothing more than a state-run news outlet of the Jewish puppet government in Russia. So the Slavic people, they've been under an intense Jew occupation since Bolshevism and communism. So the idea that a Jew puppet government is giving instructions to the truth movement in the West on how to overthrow their globalist Jew government is, it's truly laughable at best, yet it's a sad fact we're all living with. You know, it'd be an excellent idea to call the respectable, accredited anti-Semites as liquidators of property. You know, the anti-Semites will become our most dependable friends. The anti-Semitic countries are allies. This is from Theodor Herzl's diary. So, fucking Robert Dannenberg. He said the Jewish bankers and big industrialists in Austria seemed to prefer the protection of their class rather than their race, for they did not hesitate to give their financial support to the obviously anti-Semitic Austrian fascist organizations. Gilad Atzmon, The Wandering Who, from his book, he said, Zionism is maintained by anti-Semitism. This may explain why Zionists are so enthusiastic about the growing statistics of anti-Semitic incidents. You know, similarly, gay marginal politics is fueled by homophobia, and feminism thrives on the male chauvinist. Zionists rely on burned synagogues. If there were no burned synagogues around, Mossad would go as far as burning some itself. The Israelis hate the Arabs, the Zionists hate the Goyim in general, and Jews against Zionism also hate the Goyim, but they also hate Israel. But why do they hate so much? You know, the answer is simple. Once Judaism is renounced, once, you know, what remains of Jewish identity is pretty threadbare. Once stripped of religious spirituality, and all that's left of Jewishness is a template of negation fueled by racial orientation and spiced up with some light cultural references such as matzo balls and chicken soup. But, you know, it's pretty much there it is, you know, it's all for you right there. You know, Jews as a whole benefited from the actions taken by Nazi Germany because there was no Holocaust, you know, however you want to say it. But, you know, that's the greatest farce in history. It doesn't matter. The Jewish religion actually required 6 million Jews to disappear in order for the existence of Israel to be justified. And if you can't believe it, you know, here's some supposedly Holocaust Jews on their way to Palestine at the war's end. Still can't fathom the big lie. Well, you know, you've been damaged beyond repair by Jew-owned Hollywood and the rest of the media. It's a fact. I mean, how many Jews did the Germans send back to Palestine? I mean, it was boatloads after boatloads. So, I mean, we all know that the rise of Hitler had a lot to do with wealthy Jews recognizing that, you know, Aryan Germany had run its course for them. You know, it had been completely sucked dry. It's time to move on to greener pastures, as they say. You know, but really, this is not to say that Jewry itself created anti-Semitism in Germany just as a way to kickstart the immigration to Palestine. Germans, as well as other victims of the Talmudic collective mind, were merely reacting to Jewish subversion of their culture. And, you know, they're entirely justified in their feelings and actions. In fact, throughout history, all Gentile nations that kicked out these usury, pedophilic, deranged Jews have really been justified. What was it, 109 times? You know, how is a sane human being supposed to sit by and do nothing while his nation's wealth is shoveled into Jewish coffers? You know, people who proudly claim to be his masters by design. I mean, think about that. I mean, these people have just the largest, almost as large an ego as Kyle Kahn. I mean, Jewry understands the concept of anti-Semitism better than any anti-Semite himself. The fact that 90% of Jews haven't a drop of Semitic blood in their bodies is beside the point. You know, Jews have a long history of being outsiders and thieves, so as a result, they know how to play on the non-Jews' emotions and righteous tendencies to get what they want from them. You know, an understanding of the Talmud is essential to understanding how Jews operate. In the case of Nazi Germany, Jews saw the rise in anti-Semitism, you know, reaction to Jewish usury is what it was. And, you know, they used it to their advantage. You know, they got a respectable and accredited, you know, anti-Semite, you know, good Masonic anti-Semite to liquidate their property, so they didn't have to. And the German people, when they left, and even to provide an escort for the Jews to Palestine, you know, shit, there's pictures of Hitler doing a little Masonic handshake with Himmler from Time Magazine. I mean, shit, you can't get better publicity than that. I mean, Time Magazine, that's such a brotherhood magazine, getting Man of the Year. And it was not a bad piece. It was not a hit piece, as Man of the Year piece. But if you check that old school magazine out, there's a beauty little pic. I'll put it up at my blog spot when I post this show. But it's right there, man. Sitting there doing a Master Mason handshake with Himmler. It's like fun, fun, and fun. People tell me, oh no, he's not a puppet. I mean, I don't know. There's more evidence pointing to the contrary, so... You know, it's pretty much been established that international Jewry directly benefited from the policies of the Nazi Party. But, you know the lies gotta go deeper, because they always do. You know, they say Hitler was knowingly deceiving his countrymen that were led to believe he despised, you know, all things Jewish and wouldn't possibly dare negotiate with the sons of the devil. You know, why did he let tens of thousands of Jews climb ranks in his own command? You know, was he a Shabbos Goy Freemason? I don't know. Good chance. He's sitting there doing Freemasonic handshakes with Himmler, so I don't know. You know, could he have been part Jewish and a Rothschild? You know, the U.S. government thought he was in 44. I mean, again, I don't know. You know, to the logical mind, a proud Aryan wouldn't care if the purity of his family's past was on display. You know, if Hitler didn't have any Jewish ancestry, why would he pay his nephew $250,000 to keep quiet? So, you know, in Mein Kampf, the only family member that Hitler mentioned was his sister, and she happened to work as a manager at a Jewish club. So it wasn't just a Jewish club, it was one of those fun little mind clubs. It was a Mensa club. A Mensa club in Vienna, Austria. And she's even reportedly to beat away little Hitler Juden coming to attack her students. So, you know, who knows? I don't know, but these are the stories. So, it's all bits of information that, you know, less learned anti-Semites tend to skip over. Or they call themselves anti-Semites, and I don't know why. I'm not anti-Semitic. I get along fine with most Arabs, so I've met a few Iranians, quite pleasant people. Have yet to go to Iran, but nonetheless, I mean, the Semitic people I've run into there, yeah, quite nice. But, you know, due to the subversive nature of this common enemy, you know, this information really needs to be dealt with. You know, it's not really comfortable for any of us to believe that, you know, someone speaking so many truths like Hitler did would be entirely genuine in his motives, you know? The feeling of, you know, more or less comfort towards his leadership would be, you know, thought to have been felt throughout, you know, all the Nazi ranks. But this isn't true, you know? There were speculations among his intelligence community in Germany that there was a traitor in the Supreme Command giving valuable information to Russia. And perhaps even allowing the Red Army to reach Berlin to basically infect, you know, millions of Aryan women to mass rape. So, you know, I got a few testimonies from German soldiers on Nazi leadership mishaps. This is from The Service, the memoirs of General Reinhard Gehlen, page 71. Our suspicions were largely confirmed when, independent of one another, we found that Bormann, Hitler's right-hand man, and his group were operating an unsupervised radio transmitter network and using it to send coded messages to Moscow. When OKW monitors reported this, and OKW is their supreme command, military command, Canaris demanded an investigation, but word came back that Hitler himself had emphatically forbid any intervention. He had been informed in advance of these Funkspiel or fake radio messages, and he had approved them. So, I don't know, a bit strange there. Also from the same memoirs on page 98, in the winter of 1941 and 42, Gehlen and fellow generals had concluded that the Russian campaign was doomed, not because it could not be military or politically won, but because Hitler's continued interference that resulted in such elementary blunders that defeat was inevitable. So, I mean, shit, you know, let's not even talk about Dunkirk. I mean, wow. I mean, that's complete mystery, even to the Allies to this day. Bullshit mystery. It ain't no mystery. We know exactly what happened. I mean, it's just another one of those things. But here's some quotes from this book called Hitler's Traitor, Martin Bormann and the Defeat of the Reich. It says here, Bormann stayed with Hitler day and night and gradually brought him so much under his will that he ruled Hitler's whole existence. His value to Stalin began early in 1941 when Germany could have used millions of Ukrainian nationalists to defeat Soviet rule. Bormann decided they deserved only enslavement and depopulation. Faced with genocide, the Germans, or political domination by the Soviets, the Ukrainians chose to live, and by doing ruin Germany's hopes for an easy conquest. So, Ukrainians, we all know how that worked out for them. Bormann's proposals are so exactly worked out that I need only say yes or no. And this was... Yeah, wow. And then on from Hitler, everybody has failed me, but Bormann, whoever is against Bormann is also against the state. I'll shoot the lot of them. It's from Adolf Hitler. Bormann had been as useful to Russia as 50 Red Army divisions. But, oh well. Then we'll talk a little bit about the Golden Dawn. I've been aware of the Hermetic Order of Golden Dawn for quite some time. Now this little gangbang of white supremacists involved with the Golden Dawn in Greece, I'm pretty new to them. In fact, I was only really aware of them until these riots started. I didn't realize they held the MPs in Parliament, so they have ministers in Parliament. I think it's 18 or 24, something like that. It's quite a few. And this is a Parliament of around 300 members. So they have a decent number. But I noticed here a few weeks ago the Rent-A-Gay crew was talking them up. And I'm like, how the fuck? You really are not going to support these guys, right? Oh no, they're good guys. And obviously they have detractors too. They're trying to say that the Golden Dawn has something to do with the Golden Dawn. And it's not true, because the Golden Dawn has nothing to do with the Hermetic Order of Golden Dawn, according to the Rent-A-Gay crew. Whatever, that's some bullshit. Because, I mean, it's the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn is a branch of Freemasonry. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of insane there. But, you know, it really brings this discussion, you know, to the global situation of today. Just Golden Dawn, you know, the world economy being artificially dragged under by the Jewish bankers, starting with Greece, of course. You know, the climate's really becoming similar to the 1930s. You know, the ground zero of the Great Depression was Germany, and this, of course, was due to the outrageous war reparations slapped on the German people by world Jewry. You know, and as it is today, you know, the ground was extremely fertile for radical political movement, you know, which Jew Masonry took full advantage of. You know, the desperate nature of the public caused by Jewry, nonetheless, provided the right atmosphere to polarize the right-wing ideology. You know, and really at that particular time in history, Jews hadn't convinced the world that they were eternal victims of, their holocaust yet. So it wasn't taboo to talk about the, you know, really the degenerate nature of their people. You know, and this explains a lot how a movement so openly opposed to Jewry was allowed to gain, you know, such popularity. You know, except Jewish Freemasonry made sure that they harassed the growing anti-Semitism to round up the Israelites, you know, gain for sympathy. You know, and you gain this status with, of course, a Holocaust and ultimately to crush nationalism in the public eye once and for all. You know, instead of following the examples of history, Nazi Germany did exactly what every other nation has done with their Jewish problem. They moved it to someone else's land. You know, this is a move the Jewry would have wanted, and has been proven that they had a plan from the very beginning. So, I mean, this was the startup. You know, the atmosphere of Greece today is really similar to that of the 1930s Germany. You know, it's obviously not exact. But it's, you know, it's really close. You know, after the Holocaust and after 60 years of propaganda through, of course, education and Hollywood and, you know, the public consciousness regarding the Jews is almost completely backwards. You know, the people are angry that they can't find work. They notice, you know, their material things like their infrastructure falling apart, you know, their national debt and the influx of immigration caused by world Jewry's, you know, scheming in everybody's country in the West. So there's, I don't think there's a Western country that's not inflicted with this. But, you know, they're elementary, if that. You know, in their understanding of the Jewish problem, if the Jewish Freemasonic element was going to harness the frustration of the Greek people, you know, the brand, so to speak, this resistance would not be, you know, as eloquently anti-Semitic as Nazi Germany was. This, you know, and this happens to be the case. The Golden Dawn Party, which has been involved in politics for 30 years or so now, is now really rising in popularity. So they praise Hitler, And they don't mention his Zionist ties, but they seem to be focused primarily on the, you know, symptoms of immigration rather than the Jewish crime network and religion itself. So and this should raise a red flag to anyone who's heard the word shill before. You know, they stake claim to an idea or a movement, and, you know, they guide attention away from the root cause of the problem. You know, it's a lot like Alex Jones or David Icke, you know, but if we're going to explore the idea that, you know, Golden Dawn is yet another controlled opposition, you know, let's take a look at the connections to Jew Freemasonry. You know, the three founders of the Isis Urania Temple number 3 of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn in 1888 was Dr. William Robert Woodman, William Wynn Westcott, and Samuel Little McGregor Mathers. And all three, of course, were Freemasons. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Aleister Crowley was even an initiate of the Golden Dawn and mastered it fairly quickly. If I'm not, I do believe so. So I'm not positive on that, but I could look it up and find out. It's not one of those big things. But anyway, on to on. So now I want to talk a little bit about the neo-Nazi Golden Dawn, and it is the same thing as the Masonic Order of the Golden Dawn. My source for this is going to be from Golden Dawn Celebrities France. And it says here, in 1997, Nick, leader of Britain's Golden Dawn, flew to the United States where he carried out a few seminars and obtained initiation from Chick Cicero, leader of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn and leader of the Golden Dawn White Supremacist Social Movement, with close ties with the Chasse Avi neo-Nazi political party in Greece via Maria Babouashin. Or what, I'm not sure, man. A Greek national residing in New Jersey. It sounds like, I mean, really? Chrissy Avey? That sounds so Jew to me already. But anyway, it goes on to say, returning to the UK, Nick assumed leadership of the British arm of the Golden Dawn White Supremacist Movement, ruling the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn in the United Kingdom and establishing relationships with British nationalist parties and other white supremacist groups. Shortly thereafter, Nick relocated to Sofia, Bulgaria, where he stayed attending Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn group meetings and wrote several articles and books in 2008. He moved back to the UK, obtaining an invitation to join the Golden Dawn Christian Identity Social Movement's inner order, the Order of the Rose and Cross. Wow, imagine that. In 2007, Mr. Farrell, which is Nick, 2007, Mr. Nick Farrell, together with neo-Nazis R.A. Gilbert, Tom Clark, Toth Publishing, and Michael N. Buckley, were arrested by police and accused of hate crimes and assaulted for the whipping of a young African immigrant, Kinto Kayashi. Here's some background on Golden Dawn's connection to Greek intelligence, which was set up by the CIA within a Jew-controlled Greek government. It says here, in a 1998 interview with the newspaper Euthyrotopa, Grigoros Romanos Pasok, P-A-S-O-K, alleged the existence of a fascist elements in the Greek police and vowed to suppress them. In a TV interview that same year, Romanos again claimed there was a pro-fascist group within the police force, although he said it was not organized and was only involved in isolated incidents. The same year, that same paper published a lengthy article called The Lower Limbs of the Police, which outlined connections between the police and neo-fascism. Dimitrios Rappas, the PASOK government spokesman, strongly denied such connections. However, the article quoted a speech by the PASOK member of parliament about a riot caused by right-wing extremists, in which he said, "In Thessaloniki, it was widely discussed that the far-right organizations are active in the security forces. Members of such organizations were the planners and chief executioners of the riot, and nobody was arrested. A special forces officer speaking at a briefing of special forces policemen that were to be on duty that day told the policemen not to arrest anyone because the rioters were not enemies and threatened that should this be overlooked, there would be penalties. Before the surrender of Andropatolos, an article by the newspaper Ta Ni claimed that the Golden Dawn had close relationships with some part of the Greek police force in relation to the Pedronos case. The article quoted an unidentified police officer who said that half the force wanted Pedronos arrested and the other half didn't. The article claimed that there was a confidential internal police investigation which concluded that, number one, the Golden Dawn had very good relations and contacts with officers of the force on and off duty, as well as with rank and file police. Number two, the police provided the group with batons and radio communications equipment during mass demonstrations, mainly during celebrations of the Athens Polytechnic uprising and during rallies, left-wing and anarchist groups, in order to provoke riots. Pedronos and the group's connections with the force largely delayed his arrest. Number four, Pedronos' brother, also a member of the Golden Dawn, was a security escort of the unnamed New Democracy MP. Number five, many Golden Dawn members were illegally carrying an assortment of weapons. So, basically, as you could see there, you know, the conduct and political course that the Golden Dawn's taking is being supported by the Jew-controlled Greek establishment. You know, even their current leader of the Golden Dawn's been caught receiving kickbacks from the intelligence services, from the Greek intelligence services, which was set up by the CIA. You know, it seems that the powers to be, you know, world Jewry, prefer the violent and belligerent mode of resistance. You know, even though Jewry is creating this hostile environment to begin with, their continued subversion of resistance parties ensures that no one stands out and calls the Jewish charade for what it is. You know, no one's going to call it out. You know, really, for example, Israel did the same thing when they created Hamas, so it's really no different. They did that to overpower the more, you know, but media-friendly, you know, PLO. So, you know, this is a really typical tactic when conquering any country, you know, is divide and rule so no one ideology can meet in the middle and gain any traction. So, I mean, you really, you look at today's, you know, truth and nationalist movements, you know, it's a way of killing nationalism again, because rather than concentrating on the actual perpetrators of the financial crisis and these immigration problems, you know, Golden Dawn's skimming over all the root causes and focusing on symptoms, you know. It's basically a lot like, well, what all these other so-called truthers are doing that want your money and need your funding to give you more truth. You know, it's just a fact that the Jews are the ones bragging about how the multiracial stench is a Jewish revenge on European nations. I mean, they brag about it. So it seems that, you know, Golden Dawn's trying to fit the mold in this stereotypical white supremacist that the Jew media loves to endorse. You know, this is basically the polarization that Jew Masonry is looking for in their workings behind the movement, you know, by writing the base emotions of the angry Greek public. You know, Golden Dawn is steering the resistance away from really a scholarly approach. You know, because you see, nationalism doesn't have to be supremacism, and no one race is going to take on the Jewish problem by themselves. You know, Jews are racist against all people, Arabs, blacks, Asians, whites included, everybody. So, you know, their operations rely on playing people off against one another. You know, they fear the day when, you know, all the goyim races of the world recognize who their real oppressors are. And they join forces in taking out their common enemy. You know, but advocating an interracial love fest is no way the intention of dropping the supremacist game. You know, each race has to reach the common sense of understanding that without racial identity, you're ultimately leading your own race to extinction. So, take for example the decline in white birth rates. You know, they account for under, you know, half of the growing population in America. But, you know, of course, this is, you know, a lot to do because of culture mixing. And, you know, this is, you know, well-effect program of world Jewry. So, and it'd be foolish for the white resistance to believe they can take on the Jews while at the same time starting street wars with all these other Gentile races. You know, this is in fact the road that the Jew Freemasons guiding everybody down. That's what it seems to me anyway. I mean, with the use of their little front they have here in Europe, the Golden Dawn, and its swastika-esque logo. I mean, God bless. You know, Jewry's going to manage to bring the Holocaust hallucinations back to the public, you know, providing Jews with their necessary subliminal sympathy. Instead of educating the public on Jew crimes, you know, their subversion and, of course, their use of Hitler as a Zionist tool, you know, Golden Dawn's basically playing into the elementary level of awareness that Jews want the conversation to exist at. So, really, Gentiles need to become aware of this, subversive elements and realize that only through a balance of racial identity, nationalism, and interracial cooperation, you know, really can the Jew problem be extinguished or at least dealt with. You know, until the geopolitical puppet masters and their supporting tribes are taken out of power, you know, there's going to be no possible way to return immigrants to their homelands. You know, again, it's concentrating on symptoms is exactly what the Jews want everybody to do. You know, until Gentiles realize it, they'll continue to fall victim to these Jewish games. You know, there's really nothing else you can do about it. But start a garden, brew some beer, make some whiskey, grow some pot. You know, but hey, again, it's just another game, right? But don't forget, the Freedom Dome is being built for you. It's filled with truth. You can pledge $50 today, and I'll build you an eighth of a Freedom Dome tomorrow. But you can check out this show and my next postings, be it the bunker420.blogspot.com. And I don't know, kids, it's just an interesting ride, isn't it? Crazy place, man. People all filled with hate. We can't even learn to deal with each other. It's pretty disgusting. Oh well. But try to be good to yourselves. Be good to others. And I'll catch you all on the flip side.
To do. Hey, now. face. There's nothing better we could do than live forever. Well, that's all we got to do. Hey, now I'm gonna take on a new sensation. Right now, gonna take.